Hello, everybody. So Kubernetes is, you hear Kubernetes a lot and containers a lot, and Srinan just talked about running Kafka on Kubernetes. So there is a good reason for that. Kubernetes is a great platform. What I'm going to talk about today is running Kubernetes itself. So my name is Oleg Chunikhin. I'm a CTO at Kubler. Kubler is a company, a startup, which builds a product for enterprise Kubernetes management in the at scale. So over a couple of recent years, we learned a lot about how to do that. So we build the product based on a number of open source products. So I hope this presentation will give some ideas about doing that. Yeah, sure. I'll try. Okay. We'll give you some ideas if you want to set up Kubernetes at your organization at scale when you need to run multiple Kubernetes clusters, etc. Just a little bit of history. So we grow out of a service company which does dozens projects, software projects per year. So in different environments, in different clouds. And at some point, we realized that we just need to unify our delivery and release process, because software development is not just building code. It's delivering it. It's making sure it works. We can maintain it, et cetera, et cetera. So on that journey in 2000, I think it was 2013 or 15, 13, when Docker was released, we immediately saw that it solves a number of project problems for us. So we started using Docker. And yeah, as I said, it solved a lot of problems, but it doesn't solve the problem of distributed software management. It's local. So we needed orchestration of containers. And fortunately, Kubernetes came along in 2015. We started using that. It's, again, it's a great platform, very good tool for developers, very great abstraction layer for infrastructure, separating your concerns in terms of infrastructure management and software components, configuration and management, when it is up and running. So, but when you start using Kubernetes, you immediately realize that there are a number of problems it doesn't solve out of the box. So who sets it up and operates it? So who takes care of operational aspects at scale? Who and how to provide governance and ensure compliance across the organization? Because rarely organizations, even of a middle size, have just one Kubernetes clusters. Even developing a simple application requires at least a couple of environments. Production and QA cannot live in the same cluster, clearly. Just looking at this problem from a different perspective, when you introduce Kubernetes into your development and release process, you immediately realize that not only developers have questions, but your operations teams, Star Ops teams, SRE, have their needs as well. So, and if we try to categorize those needs and put them into buckets, more relevant for developers, or more relevant for ops, so needs of developers are addressed quite well by Kubernetes. But needs of operations teams, especially if you operate at scale, may not be as readily solved by that. And of course, there exist some requirements that are common for everyone. And thus, we formulated a bunch of requirements to the platform that we wanted to find. Portability, because you need to run it in different environments, sometimes in even in the same organization. Centralized multi-cluster management, because you cannot afford go to each and every cluster to look for problems, et cetera, et cetera. Self-service, and governance, because self-service is not possible without governance at any scale. Reliability for clusters as well as the platform that manages it. Limited management profile, so we don't want the platform to be embedded into cluster and at each and every point. We want those clusters be as independent from the management and operations platform as possible to be able to operate independently or relatively independently. And of course, open and flexible architecture that can fit for different needs. So we ended up building this platform, and so one of the outcomes of this presentation, I hope, is which may be helpful, is a list of those requirements you need to pay attention when you're building similar approach or platform for yourself or looking for a ready-to-use solution. So some concerns that you need to pay attention to. Like, for example, single pane of glass, which is very important for operations. It's not just enough to know that you have five clusters there, your data science team use two clusters. It's very useful to be able to overview all of them and maybe switch between different spaces and have different permissions and roles that have different access to those clusters. Centralized log collection and monitoring is a very important part of that. Infrastructure management and operations, image repository and image management, backup and disaster recovery. So those are all important parts of the platform. Today, I'll focus mainly on aspects of that platform that we built based on open source product that can be easily reproduced again without relying on this specific product, so which is probably most interesting for people here. And those are centralized log collection and monitoring and audit management. And so just going through operation. So the second aspect is actually setting up reliable Kubernetes clusters, so which is part of requirements to that reliable platform. So one thing that we found is that Kubernetes itself does not focus too much on high-level architecture of the cluster itself. It gives you all the components, API server, kubelet, agent, etc., but you can set it up in a number of different ways, and some are better than others. So we used an approach where we set up a cluster in a way where it can feel independent from the operational platform which sets it up. So operational platform is only critical and crucial when the cluster is created, when infrastructure is provisioned. But after that, downtime for this control plane doesn't mean downtime for the clusters themselves. So they even can recover from infrastructure failures when the control plane is down. And essential part of that is that cluster itself is responsible for some of its own orchestration. Like we are running an agent on each and every instance, including masters and nodes. In our case, it's a single binary written in Go, but again, in specific installation, it may be a bunch of shell scripts using kubeadm, for example, to set up this node. What's important that those agents are able to orchestrate cluster recovery in case of failure, even if all nodes are failing. And they need to do that using as little resources and as little SLA from infrastructure as possible. So we set it up using a so-called orchestration store. So the only requirement to that store is that it's shared, all nodes have access to that, and that it is eventually consistent. So what happens, masters initialize that store if they see that it's empty. If it's multiple masters, they sort of use very simple, file-based election algorithm, which allows them to agree whose information is most important. And so they populate the store with secrets, configuration information that may be needed for nodes to connect. And nodes just use that information to initialize clusters. So again, control plane may play a role in that by populating that store with secret information or configuration information, but only during cluster setup. So that plays into reliability, but another aspect of reliability of the cluster is that you want to rely on your on your platform, on your infrastructure provider as much as possible for cluster recovery. So, for example, if you are running in AWS, use auto-scaling groups to recover instances. Don't rely on external player with Terraform and Hands to recover instances, etc. Use as little infrastructure requirements as possible. So try not to rely on high-level concepts like load balancers. So, for example, if you require load balancers in your environment to support multi-master clusters, you would require, for example, on-prem deployment administrator to set up hardware load balancer or somehow make sure that software load balancer is reliable for those masters. So we are setting up Kubernetes cluster in such a way that nodes can switch between masters in case of master failure themselves. So it's sort of distributed load balancer built into the cluster itself. those are important items for cluster reliability. Other probably things that need to be taken into account is resource management. Resource management in Kubernetes sense. Every container running in Kubernetes may or may not define requests and limits for resources used. And it seems that the healthiest clusters are those that enforce request equal limit and definition of requests and limits on each and every container. And there is a simple reason for that, because Kubernetes does not feel well about swapping. So usually Kubernetes disables swapping. It's actually settings by default on each and every node. So any memory overallocation leads either to panics or to OOM kills that are unpredictable. So, and the only way to avoid that is to make sure that every container running in your system is defining their limits and defining their requests. And those are equal, so that there is no way to overallocate. And that relates not only to containers you run, your applications, but also to system containers like and system processes like kubelet and actually operating system itself. So you have a way in Kubernetes to reserve some amount of memory for operating system. Rarely people do that, which sometimes you find that it was a mistake if you didn't do that. So next step, centralized log collection and monitoring and audit collection. So I don't talk about audit separately because in terms of engineering solution, it's similar to log collection. So why bother at all? Because Kubernetes seem to have, even open source Kubernetes have some add-ons that help you collect metrics and logs. So first of all, those solutions are usually per cluster. So you deploy Prometheus for metrics collection or Elasticsearch into each and every cluster. And those have quite a big resource, quite large resource requirements. So every instance requires probably 4 to 8 gigabytes of RAM. Those are not lightweight components. And they also require attention. So each and every cluster runs Elasticsearch. Elasticsearch is multi-component product, not unlike Kafka, and it requires attention from your operations. So it makes sense to centralize this function. Very good solution usually is to use cloud-based or SaaS things like Datadog or essentially, yes, with cloud, for example. Sometimes it's not possible for regulatory reasons. And also, often organization does not do that in a green field. So often organizations have their own monitoring systems. And again, very often it happens that those monitoring systems that are already deployed are not container aware. Even in that case, it makes sense to invest into a container aware system like Prometheus and then integrate it with your existing system or use both. And of course, so if you do that per cluster, you don't have aggregated view and cross-environment analysis or common alerting governance or things like that. So here we see how regular out-of-the-box Kubernetes monitoring works. So usually it's based on Prometheus or InfluxDB, which collects metrics from nodes, pods, services, discovering them using Kubernetes API, and you use Grafana to show them. So this is what we end up with building for centralized monitoring system. So we still rely on Prometheus to collect those metrics. We deploy it in each and every cluster. But because we reduce retention period there just for to a few minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and because we don't use it to show those metrics, to run arbitrary queries, you can reduce resource usage significantly, like to several hundred megabytes maybe. And why do we use that component at all? Because we want to have someone local collecting and storing those metrics, at least for caching purposes, because sometimes you lose connection between your clusters and control plane, and you want centralized monitoring system to be able to grab those lost metrics after connection was lost. Centrally, we run Prometheus, which collects those metrics from local Prometheuses using federation. And then everything else is more or less straightforward. So there is a component which reconfigures central Prometheus to talk to new clusters when we add or to remove clusters from the configuration when we remove clusters. It watches our cluster registry, and we have this centralized Grafana, which points at Prometheus with dashboards that are almost unmodified relative to standard ones. So some considerations that needs to be taken into account and be remembered when you are building similar configuration is, so first of all, again, resource tuning. So not only you need to make sure that resources and limits are the same for Prometheus deployed into the cluster, you need to account for scale. So again, unlike local Prometheuses, central Prometheus will collect a lot of data. It will require a lot of resources to work, and it needs to be scaled accordingly. Long-term storage. Prometheus is not very good for long-term storage. So you have to define retention period, and you cannot keep more data than your static configuration for that Prometheus instance. Fortunately, there are solutions like M3, for example, that augments and extends Prometheus with this long-term storage, so we can use that for it. And it's open source as well. When number of clusters is too large, or quite large, all of them needs to go eventually into that configuration file for central Prometheus for it to be able to collect data from them. And at some point, this file becomes too large. This is a problem But at the same time, it is solved by just sharding the whole system, because anyway, you will need to shard your central Prometheus at some point to make sure that some part of the clusters are managed by one shard, another part by another shard, just for scaling purposes. And that solves to a degree that configuration file growing problem. Matrix labeling is important because when you run multiple clusters with multiple applications, those applications don't necessarily agree on how they label their metrics. And some metrics having the same nature in different applications may be labeled completely differently. So you need to at least standardize on base set that, for example, pod name, container name, so things at least common for all your applications running in different clusters. And then additional load on API server. So one of the ways to get that information, those metrics from a local cluster, is to work through API proxy, Kubernetes API proxy. And this is a convenient way. So you don't require opening any port, et cetera, et cetera. You just work through HTTP, HTTPS. It's secure by default. But this all goes through API server of Kubernetes cluster, and therefore creates additional load. So you need to account for that when you're planning for resources for API server. But the result actually helps a lot. Operations teams have this single pane of glass. Similar architecture is used for log collection. So this is a standard picture. So when you deploy Elasticsearch, you use FluentD running on each and every node to ship logs to this Elasticsearch. You use Kibana to see them, to browse those logs. We are removing Elasticsearch from each and every cluster. We move it to this control plane, into the control plane. At the same time, we still want to be able to limit this control or management profile, so we don't want central control plane to use any additional ports or actually clusters ship to the control plane, because then we will need to set a two-way, essentially, route for these guys to talk. So we are setting up a local cache based on RabbitMQ for those logs, enough to keep logs for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And then we establish routing of those messaging using MQTT forwarding into central Elasticsearch. And by the way, I forgot to mention that in monitoring section, but picture is essentially the same for monitoring and for log collection. You still have an option to ship logs and metrics additionally into external system, because that sometimes is required. So you can either use both, or you can disconnect your own log collection and monitoring and just use external ones. Some considerations related to log collection. First of all, again, resource usage, and that's going to be a consideration every time when you think about deploying anything into Kubernetes. So you will need to plan for how much resources your Elasticsearch will need, and it depends on scale, on the number of clusters, on the number of nodes, and on the number of containers running in those clusters. Additional load on API server, the same picture as for monitoring. And a problem similar to labeling is log index structure, because again, if you run different applications that you cannot even predict, your different teams may deploy applications in self-service mode, provide logs of different structure. Elasticsearch does not do cannot adjust index after index structure is set up already. So you need to either think about log index structure beforehand and standardize on what application ship, or use an approach like that. So there are a couple of articles that I have in the reference section that describe how you can unify log structure for any structure of data that are shipped by applications. So one of the approaches is shown here in this slide. So the rest includes identity management. Probably, again, if you're running it at scale, it makes sense to run an identity broker as a part of this centralized control plane that intermediates between your identity management systems and Kubernetes clusters. So we use Keycloak, which works great. Backup and disaster recovery. So there are good solutions, open source solutions. Heptio released one for Kubernetes, or you can build or augment it considering specifics of your environment. Docker image management. This is also a common concern for Kubernetes cluster, and it also makes sense to make this a component of this central control plane. Based on Nexus, for example, or Artifactory, both have good capabilities for managing Docker images. Both integrate with image scanning. Both integrate very well with various build processes. I think we have maybe 2 minutes for maybe a couple of questions. Thank you. So I'm available offline, so please.
So I was just wondering about Kubler. Is that similar to something like Helm?
Helm is one of the tools which helps you templatize, essentially, a bunch of Kubernetes objects. So you can, instead of deploying one pod here, two deployments there, one config map there, you can combine that into a single package and deploy it all at once. So it's essentially a deployment tool for Kubernetes. But Kubler is an operation tool for multiple Kubernetes clusters across organization. Thank you.